Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that we can approach the Father through you, and that we can really be face to face with you. And in this morning, we just come to set aside anything that wants to hinder us from being close to you, Lord Jesus Christ, being close to you, Father. We just want to choose to lay down this week that has passed and everything that happened within it. I want to say we come and clear out this time just for you. Just take one or two moments and just shut everything out and say, God, I want to listen to your word. Amen. Good morning, everyone. My name is Haynes, for those of you who don't know me. Our Pastor Alistair, he's preaching at the student church this morning, there with the first year service, and he's asked me to share the word with you this morning. And I'm very excited about what exactly God has laid on my heart throughout this week that he wants me to speak about, and I trust that it would really impact our lives, that we can change the way we think about a thing such as prophecy. The first time that someone prophesied over my life was when I was in grade 11. I was in a camp. My background is Dutch Reformed. I grew up and attended a Dutch Reformed church all the way through high school. And on this camp, it was a different congregation that hosted it. And one of the leaders came to me in a worship session, and he said that God has told him to tell me that I'm like Samuel, and that God wants to tell me something through that, and that I should go and I should read 1 and 2 Samuel and see what is hidden there that God wants to show me. And it was quite weird for me for this thing happening to me, but I was like, okay, but I'll try it out. I'll see what God wants to say to me. And I went back home and I read through the first and second Samuel, and I came through both of the books, and I was like, okay, I didn't really see anything here. So I started over. And then when I got to chapter 3 of the first book, where God calls Samuel when he's still a small boy in the temple, he calls him 3 times, and each time he runs to Eli, and Eli says, no, I didn't call you, go back. And the last time he said, maybe it's God speaking to you. So when you get called again, you should say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And that verse struck me. And that verse in the end became the call over my life to be involved in ministry. And that took me to going to university, studying theology. Even though it was still Reformed theology, I felt that passion in my heart still going forward. And in the end, God took me out of that into this congregation and into a spirit-filled life. So I really like to speak to you about prophecy and the power of prophecy and how prophecy can change people's lives. Now, Alistair preached about it last Sunday. So many of the things that I'm going to say is going to link up with what he said last week. But I really feel that God says that we should, for a while, focus on prophecy. And I think we have misconceptions in our head about what prophecy is. So what I'm going to share might be basic for some of you. But I think it's necessary that we hear the basics, even if it is again and again. Because Jesus says in his word that he has made the things of the gospel to be revealed to those who are simple. Those who don't need a lot of understanding. So if we preach about the basics every Sunday, it's also fine. God wants us to go to the next things. But if we are going to be a church that disciples people, it's going to mean that we have to do the basics over and over again with all those who come in and meet them where they are and drag them up and drag them forward. So the reason why the title of the sermon is Why Prophesy is because it rhymes. And I think just because we might have a lot of questions regarding prophecy, and I feel God really wants us to go through the prophecy and just stop and look at it. So, to the next slide. What comes to mind when you hear the word prophecy? Just think about that for a moment. When you hear the word prophecy, what comes to your mind? Some people might automatically think, okay, it's something that happened in the Old Testament. And there are some prophetic books in the Old Testament, so it's probably something to do with the prophets or something to do with the books in the Old Testament. And other people might think, well, maybe it's only telling something about the future, an airy-fairy crystal ball thing. So we look into this crystal ball and then we see the future. That's prophecy. Oracles and prophecy are these mystic things. It's not that either. Some people might think, when they think about prophecy, think that it's a gift of the Spirit, which is true. It is a gift of the Spirit. It's among the nine gifts of the Spirit that we do receive from God when we get filled with His Spirit. And some people might say that it's something of the old days. It was there. It was the Spirit that came upon the church in Acts, and they prophesied, but it's done. That phase is over. It's in the past. We don't have it today anymore. Many people that I've had contact with believe this, that it's done and dusted. When Revelation was closed, it was done. So is there still a need for prophecy in our days? Just ask yourself that question. Do you think there is still a need for prophecy? Is it not just an Old Testament thing? Is it not just a New Testament thing? Is it even possible in our days, you might ask? And are there still prophets around today? Are there Elijahs and Jeremiahs? And those guys, are they walking in our midst and we don't know of them? Or what's happening? So I'd like you to start thinking about a lot of questions that you might have regarding prophecy, and then trust that God would, through the Word, speak to you and reveal things to you. We're going to look at scriptures, and you can skip to the first one with the scriptures on it. I felt God in this week show me things regarding prophecy, that it's wired through the whole of the Bible. It's there from the beginning. Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The reason why God took me to this one is that the Spirit of God is that Spirit that enables us to prophesy. And He wants to show to us that right from the beginning, the Spirit was there. And prophecy was there. God created the earth through speaking. Now, prophecy involves speaking. Prophecy is, in essence, speaking the Word of God. So when God spoke during creation, He was prophesying things into existence. He was speaking His own word over that which is to come. So right from the beginning, prophecy was part of the deal. Let's move on to Numbers 11, verse 27 to 29. Now, I always thought that the Old Testament, they have prophets, but I didn't really understand how could they prophesy. How was it possible for people to prophesy in the Old Testament? And then while reading Judges a few years back, I saw that every time it says that when God's Spirit came upon the person, they prophesied, or when His Spirit came upon, I thought the Spirit only came in the New Testament upon people. But now let's look in Numbers. A young man ran and told Moses that these two guys were prophesying in the camp. Just the context of this, Moses, God told him to get 70 of the elders together to help him to lead the Israelites. Because he was telling God and complaining that the burden is too heavy for me. He said, okay, bring 70 people to me. Bring them to the temple, and then I will put a part of the Spirit that's resting upon you, Moses, I'll put on them. And then when they were there, 68 of them were there, and 2 weren't there. And then in that moment, God placed His Spirit upon all of them, and they started prophesying. So they prophesied, and then it stopped. But then a young man came running and telling Moses that there's 2 people that are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua said they should be quieted. Let's read there. Eldad and Medad were prophesying in the camp. Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put His Spirit on all of them. And this verse just struck me, because Moses, the Old Testament prophet, saying that, well, he has tasted how it tastes like to have the Spirit of God upon him. And it's his desire that that same Spirit be placed on all men, that all men be prophets, that all men be able to prophesy. And it was just so, just gave me such a reassurance in my heart that that's part of God's plan. And I believe the words that Moses spoke there was not an outcry from within himself only, but I think from God's word inside of him. God also wants all men to prophesy. He wants His Spirit to be on all men. Right, we're progressing through the Bible. We're going to the book of the prophets, to Joel, chapter 2. Now, this is a prophecy before Jesus, at the end of the Old Testament. And I just believe it's almost as if it resonates so closely with that which what Moses said, that we can't skip this text. It's so fundamental in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's a prophecy that God gave through His prophet. He says, and afterward, that is, they speak about the day of the Lord before that, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Now, this is cool, because this is a prophecy about a prophecy. It's a prophecy about people will be able to prophesy later on. And it's so powerful, because this same scripture is the one quoted in Acts 2, when God poured out His Spirit upon all those gathered together. So you see this progression from the first book of the Bible to Numbers to Joel. We're going over into the New Testament. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. In Acts chapter 2, God had told the disciples before that, I'm going away. You stay in Jerusalem. You wait there until you receive power from on high. before you go out. And Jesus also, in John chapter 17, he speaks to the disciples and he says and he promises, I'm going to send you the Comforter. But I can't send him unless I go away. So Jesus had to leave earth to send his Spirit. Because when Jesus was on earth, his Spirit was attached to him as a person. So he couldn't be with every single person all of the time. So he had to leave in order to send his Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is not bound by time and space. He can be with all of us at the same time. So he sent the Holy Spirit. And then verse 4 says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. We should see there that also the things that they did, the tongues in which they spoke, it came from God. It wasn't out of themselves. It was something done by God within them, and they started speaking. And then Peter stood up to give a sermon, the first sermon to be preached. And the text that he quotes is Joel 2, chapter 28, Joel 2, verse 28 to 29. And he says, he quotes it exactly. He says, that prophecy that you all know about, you've all been studying that prophecy, and it was more than 400 or 500 years that prophecy, since it has been spoken, that it hasn't been fulfilled yet. In 400 or 500 years from now, just think about that. Can you even imagine? It's 500 years from now, 5, 6, 7 generations from now. Such a long time, more or less, the people have been waiting for that outpouring of the Spirit of God, and now it's here. And His Spirit was poured out on all of them. And I would like to, I don't have the scripture up on the board, but I believe that there's some people that believe that when you come to salvation, that you are filled with the Spirit completely. There's no infilling of the Holy Spirit that needs to happen after that. If you believe, you're filled with the Spirit. Well, if we look at Acts chapter 19, Paul was on one of his travels and he passed through the town of Ephesus. And then he found believers there, 12 of them. So he found people there that he said is believers. Believers being people who believe that Jesus Christ was their Lord and Savior. He had died on the cross, risen from the dead, and all their sins have been forgiven. They were believers. They believed in Jesus Christ. And then he asked them, have you been, into what baptism were you baptized? And they say, no, we've been baptized in the baptism of John. And he asked them about the Holy Spirit, and they say, well, we have not even heard about the Holy Spirit. So then he preached to them, explained the Holy Spirit to them. They got baptized, not in the baptism of John, in the baptism of Jesus. And then they laid hands upon them, and then only were they filled with the Holy Spirit. So I think it's important to remember this, especially when we go out in a town such as Bloemfontein. I think many people think that I have the Holy Spirit inside of me because I believe in Jesus. But we need to be aware of that. And when we do have the opportunity to testify towards people, tell them that you are filled with the Holy Spirit when you ask the Holy Spirit to come inside of you, to come and live inside of you. It's not an automatic thing that happens. So let's remember that when we talk to people, when we speak to people, and for our own lives, remember that it's not an automatic thing that happens. It can happen automatically. It is possible that people come to salvation and they're filled with the Spirit immediately. God is not limited. But we should be aware of that. Right, Acts chapter 10. So, even the Jews, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, thought that it was only for them. They thought, we were the chosen people. God has put His Spirit on us. So, We are part of the nation of God, the nation of Israel, and we have received the Holy Spirit. But then God did an amazing thing. Acts chapter 10. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Now he was speaking to Gentiles here. He went to the house of Cornelius, who was a Gentile, because God told him so in a vision. And he went there and he preached to them. And even while he was still preaching, not even laying on of hands or anything else, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, those the Jewish believers, who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. I think many times we don't understand the scripture, but we don't have a revelation of the scripture maybe. All of us here would not have been Christians, would not have been filled with the Spirit of God had it not been for this. Because we qualify under the name Gentile. We aren't part of the Jewish nation. We are part of them in the Spirit now, afterwards, after Christ. But if it had not been for this day, the Spirit would not have been on us. The last thing there, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. We should, when we do have the Spirit inside of us, there was always an outward confirmation for people that people had been filled with the Holy Spirit. So if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to start being obedient to the Holy Spirit, doing what He's telling us, that we might be a sign to others as well. Right, next slide. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 to 5. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. I'm not going to read the whole text, it's a lot, but I want to get to verse 5 again. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. Now the Holy Spirit had been poured out in the New Testament. Gentiles were coming into the church. Now people were living in the church. Church life was happening. And they had to be instructed in the way of the Spirit. So even if we have been filled by the Holy Spirit, I believe God wants us to learn from Him, learn from the New Testament, how we should respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, how we should live our Christian lives. And He says here, they had a dispute about speaking in tongues and so forth. He says, I'm not going to stop you from speaking in tongues, but understand that when you're in the congregation, it's better to prophesy than to speak in tongues, because if you prophesy, everybody understands. So if someone gives a tongue, let it be interpreted that it may be reflected as a prophecy. So he's encouraging them to prophesy over one another. And then we get to the last book of the Bible, Revelation. The whole book of Revelation is called a prophecy. So this line of prophecy, this line of the Spirit speaking, God's word going out, it starts in the beginning in Genesis 1. There's a line, it goes through all the way to Revelation, and it's continuing today. So let us remember that the Spirit and prophecy, that the Spirit of prophecy is continuing in our world. Now I want to ask you, in the light of this, in the light of this line going through the whole Bible, this line speaking about prophecy, prophets in the Old Testament, prophets in the New Testament, Spirit in the Old Testament, Spirit in the New Testament, we being encouraged to prophesy, we being encouraged to be filled with the Holy Spirit, would you think that it is God's desire that we should prophesy? Would it be a yes or would it be a no? It's a yes. It's a whole book full of the Holy Spirit. It's a whole book full of prophecy. I'm going to say this again. I'm going to say it later again. Prophecy, in essence, is speaking the words of God. It's not that complicated. It's not that airy-fairy. It is speaking the words of God. Now, you might have some questions. Okay, we need to prophesy, but how are we to prophesy? You can put up this slide, the next one. How should we prophesy in our culture? What does it mean to have a prophetic culture in church? So yes, we need to prophesy, but okay, now we have a lot of questions like how how do we get our church to have a prophetic culture? There's a lot of questions that we might have now. So yes, we need to prophesy, so let's try to do something about it. I just want to go through some practical things regarding this. The next slide, please. If we loosen prophecy from Jesus, we lose the plot. It's all about our God, Jesus. Prophecy is closely linked not only to the Holy Spirit, not only to the Father, but to Jesus himself. Why? Why is that? Because in John chapter 1, it is said that Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And he also was, in the first chapter of the Bible, creation. He was there. He's the Word of God. Revelation 19 verse 10. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We cannot prophesy unless we understand the testimony of Jesus. Without Jesus dying on the cross, prophecy would not have existed for us. It's impossible to loosen prophecy from the person of Jesus Christ. In essence, prophecy is speaking the word of God. Now, while I was at university, some of my lectures took this and said that basically speaking the word of God, that's prophecy. So all these kinds of prophecies that people say they are prophesying now, it's not, if it's not directly out of the Bible, if it doesn't come from here word for word, it's not prophecy. So they say this is the only prophecy that there is. Anything else is made up by people. I don't believe that's true. For Jesus Christ is greater than that. When we say that we speak the word of God, look at the prophets of the Old Testament. When God told them to say something, they didn't just quote that which was written before. God did give them something new, but it was in line with that which was written before. So this is the standard of prophecy. It's not the only prophecy that there is, but it's the standard. So if someone prophesies or says that I'm prophesying over you now, and it doesn't correlate with what the Bible says, it is false. There are false teachers around. There are false prophets around. So if the prophet tells you something or speaks something over your life, and it sounds very impressive, but it's not correlating with the word of God, you may know that it's not true. It will never contradict the word of God, but it is not limited to the words inside this book. The word of God is also the revelation that we get from the word of God. For why would God say in Joel that your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions? Is that not something, the whole book of, he's not saying that they're going to have visions about words in the Bible. He says he's going to have visions. There's going to be revelation. There's going to be something new. but it's going to correlate with what is standing here. So let's remember that in prophecy, that prophecy is something new, but it's not something, it's new to us, but it's not new to God, and it's not new to the Word of God. And it will never contradict the Word of God. So in essence, a prophet, the next slide, speaks the Word of God. There's this phrase in the Bible that says, "Thus says the Lord." Many prophets say their prophecies to indicate that they're going to say the words of God now. They say, "Thus says the Lord," or "This is what the sovereign Lord says." There's almost like a pause to say, listen, what I'm going to say is important. Why? Because it is the words of God. Because God spoke to them. And then they were able to speak that to the people. But do you think that it's limited only to the Old Testament? Only to the prophets in the Old Testament? Well, if we are to prophesy, and if prophecy in essence is speaking the word of God, if God tells you to tell something to someone else, it's as if God is speaking to that person. He chose to use us. He can go around us and just give people visions and dreams and words straight from Him. But He chooses, because He's a loving God, to use us in His kingdom. And He enables us in the authority of the name of Jesus Christ that we may say, "Thus says the Lord." Sometimes we do make mistakes. We say something, we hear something from God, we interpret it, and then we tell it to someone, and it's a bit skew. We miss it sometimes. We do make mistakes. So it's safe to say that I believe that God is saying this to you. Unless you heard in God's audible voice, you'll say these exact words to that person. But let us be humble in it as well. And with prophecy, if you say something to someone, if you prophesy over someone's life, it's probably going to resonate with something they already know. Prophecy confirms things inside of us. I had that urge for a calling for God, and when that guy spoke to me about Samuel, it confirmed what was already going on in my heart, but I was blind for that. So please be aware that when we say we're going to prophesy, do it in humility and say that, go and test this. If this, that, what I'm saying to you doesn't correlate with the Bible, forget it. If this, what I'm telling you, is not resonating with something in your heart, if you don't feel God confirm it in your heart, then forget about it. Because sometimes we do miss it, but we shouldn't be afraid to prophesy because we make mistakes. Let us get that freedom, because the more we're going to prophesy about over people, the better we're going to get at hearing the word of God, exactly what He's saying. It gets purified. It's a thing of practice makes perfect. Even to the point where Samuel himself, the Bible says that not one of his words ever fell to the ground. Not one of the things that God told Samuel to say to the people ever didn't come to pass. Every single word that was spoken through him came true. Now, let's just get a bit practical, because, okay, we should prophesy. And in essence, it's speaking the word of God. But how is it going to look like now? What am I going to do? Is it only seeing things of the future according to the word of God? Or what is it now? We're going to run through some basics. And you can find this in the Bible School 1 material. It's there, and it puts it out nicely. So there's the scriptures. I'm not going to read through all of those scriptures, but let's just go through some of them, because it's going to help us to think that prophecy, when we might think that prophecy is just an airy fairy thing, future telling, but that's not what it is only. It's also that. Firstly, prophecy is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it gives Revelation 1 verse 10 to 20, where Jesus is described. Jesus appears to John. And before that, he told them, you're going to write this down. You're going to tell the people what you saw. You saw me. Write it down. The people need to hear this. So prophecy involves speaking something, writing something down so that others can hear it. And it's about Jesus Christ. Then Ephesians 4 verse 12 to 13 speaks about the apostle, prophet, fivefold ministry. And that is for the unity of the faith. So the office of the prophet has been placed there to help our body of believers to have unity. So prophecy is an important part, according to God, to get all the believers on the same page, to have unity in the faith. It's necessary that we have people who operate as prophets. Others need to operate as evangelists. Others need to operate as pastors. But we do need prophets to prophesy for the unity in the church. The next one, correction and conviction. 1 Corinthians 14. It says there that if you prophesy, it's still speaking there about the speaking in tongues and the prophecy. He says, if you prophesy in your churches and unbelievers come in, they can understand what is being said. And that might bring them to conviction. So when we prophesy, it brings people to conviction. Friday morning we had intercession. We were praying. I was praying something. I just felt it on my heart to pray it. I didn't feel it for someone specific. But someone in the group while we were praying messaged me over this weekend and said, that thing which you said, it has become a revelation to me. And it is an answer to a prayer that I had to God about this year. So it brought that conviction in his heart. Just because I felt God say to me, say this. So I said it. And I didn't look for the result there. I just felt I should say it. And the other people continued praying. But this guy got convicted by something that I had said. And I've been convicted by the things that he has said in the past. He really knows the word. Also for correction. We can prophesy over people to correct them. And the best way to do that is usually ask God to give you a scripture. That we don't just go to people and just tell them you did this, 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 and this wrong. Talk to them in love and say, but the word of God says this. And so forth, and so forth, and so forth. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. I think this is one that we many times skip with prophecy. We don't think it classifies as prophecy. If we edify the body, if we speak life over the body, if we speak to a person, we prophesy over a person's life, we comfort them, we exhort them. We don't necessarily see that as prophecy. But last week, God showed me this. If he had made Belinda to be someone who is good with admin, she's good in administrative things. When he created her, he spoke over her that she will be someone that's good with administration. Now, I'm here in church. I see Belinda doing what she's doing. And I just felt that God say, go and tell her, you're really a good administrator. Then I'm actually speaking the words of God that he has spoken over her when he made her. So if you see something inside of someone, go and tell that person, I see this inside of you. Maybe they've forgotten that. Because the devil attacks us on our strong points. You'd want to lie to her and say, you're a bad administrator. Look at all the mistakes that you have made in this last while. She starts believing, I'm not good at this. I'm not good at this. Why should I be in the ministry? Why should I be in church? Why should I do all this admin? And you come to her and say, you're really a good administrator. You're just confirming the word that God has spoken over her life when he made her. So that's also prophecy. Let us not think that it's inferior if we encourage people and exhort people. We have a friend, she has left the church now. She was with the church for 4 or 5 years. And she's so gifted in just edifying the body. You'd get random messages from her and saying, just like, I just feel God say that you're so and you're so and you're so. And this and this and this what you did the other day, it's brilliant or whatever. And you just remember, but it's worthwhile what I'm doing. and you feel edified. So let's not neglect edification as part of prophecy. Then direction, in Acts chapter 16, verse 9, God gave a vision to Paul. He told him, go to Macedonia. But if Paul didn't speak that to the people around them, he would have been disobedient to the spirit of prophecy who had told him, go there. And what happened when he went there? The first convert in Europe happened in Macedonia. And for many centuries, Europe was the center of the Christian faith. Preparation in Acts 11, verse 27 to 30. Agabus is a prophet and he prophesies that there's going to be a great famine in the country. They should start preparing. So if God gives you a warning for someone or the church, go and tell the people. Ask them, does this resonate with you? I feel a warning of this and this. Why? Because they can prepare for that then. We shouldn't be, we shouldn't forget about the fact that the devil has schemes against us. And if God shows us this is a scheme that the devil wants to bring against you in this next while, go warn the people, then you should go and warn them so that they can prepare, start interceding, or just change a few things that the devil's plots cannot succeed. Separation, Acts 13, verse 1 to 3. That is where Paul and Barnabas get set apart for the ministry. So the whole congregation in Antioch, they were praying together and fasting, and the Holy Spirit told them, set apart for me Saul, or Paul, and Barnabas, because I want to send them. And then they did that. So within the meeting, someone probably got told by God, right, tell the people you need to separate for me Saul and Barnabas for this ministry. And that person had to speak those words of God. What was the result of that? The whole ministry of Paul and people getting evangelized left, right, and center, convicted, everything, filled with the Spirit. Second, last one, impartation. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. Paul is encouraging Timothy not to neglect the gifts that he has received with the laying on of hands. There was an impartation that took place in Timothy's life that strengthened him to have his ministry, to continue in his ministry. So that impartation comes through prophecy. Someone is told by God, you lay hands on that man in order that that man can be separated unto me and ministered into my kingdom. So we will have to really impart, lay hands on people that the impartation of God can be on their lives for their ministry. And then prediction, it's also prediction of the future. But it's not only that. Acts 11, verse 27 to 30 is again about Agabus. He told the people there's going to be a famine, and there was a famine. And then I think it's the same person who told Paul that he was going to be taken away, he's going to be bound, and be taken into prison, and he's going to die that way, and he did. And then Revelation 5, from chapter 5 to 22, is the prediction of the last days. Also, the whole book is called the Book of Prophecy, a book of prophecy. So prophecy is also telling the future, but let's not limit it to that and miss all these others regarding prophecy. So then, next slide. If we are to prophesy, how should we prophesy? Like in the old days, led by the Spirit. Let us really be led by the Spirit in how we prophesy. Be dependent upon Him. I don't want to give you a couple of rules of how to prophesy, what's the correct way of prophecy. You listen to the Spirit speak to you, and you respond to that. Otherwise, you're going to hold fast to someone's model of how to prophesy. If God is telling you something, respond to that and see the fruit of it. And then you'll know, okay, didn't work out. I heard incorrectly. But the next time you'll learn, okay, this is cool. It actually works. That's when God says that, oh, He means that. Okay. how in our culture, how should we prophesy in our culture? Also, like in the old days, cultures are so diverse. And we have diverse cultures within our church and diverse cultures in South Africa, diverse cultures around the world. But one thing is the same. The Spirit is the same in this culture as in another culture, as in India, as in China, as in London. The same Spirit is everywhere. So how are we going to prophesy accurately within every culture if we prophesy according to the Spirit? Let us not have different sets of rules for different cultures. Let us be led by the Holy Spirit to prophesy within every culture. What does it mean to have a prophetic culture in our church? It means that we should prophesy. It's very simple. We shouldn't complicate these things. If we are to have a prophetic culture in our church, and Shofar has a prophetic calling on the church, we have been called specifically by God to be a prophetic church, then how are we going to do that? If we prophesy, we'll do that. Let's also not complicate it in that sense. So God's Spirit is really inside of us. If we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, we have been enabled to prophesy. If we are not prophesying, we're probably withholding something from someone. God's going to use someone else to speak to that person or speak to them directly. But let not us be the ones passing the promptings of the Holy Spirit the whole time. Let us be the ones responding and say, I want to respond to the Spirit. If the Spirit's speaking to me, I want to respond. If you feel you need to pray for someone, go pray for someone. If someone needs to be prayed for healing, you feel God say, go pray for that person. He needs healing. You go and pray for that person for healing. You have the faith. And let us really be a church that's led by God, by His Spirit. And not have too many rules and regulations. Let us understand prophecy in order that we may prophesy. But let's not limit Him then in that sense. So bring scriptures, bring visions. If you have a dream that you dream, you don't know for who it is, come speak to Alistair and say, Alistair, I have this weird dream. Because there's one of our friends that we just heard yesterday. She gets dreams about people in her life and she doesn't know really what it means, but it actually means something to that person. She needs to respond to that. Let us not neglect the gift that God has given us. So I just want to extend an invitation. If there's anyone that would like to prophesy, and there's anyone that would like to prophesy, anyone who would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, or ask that they be encouraged again to prophesy, to speak the words of God, then there's an opportunity for prayer now afterwards. And we're going to sing the last song. If you feel during that song that you want to respond to this word in some way, please come forward. If you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, come forward. Let us pray with you that the Spirit of God may be the one prophesying through you. And may our church really be a church in which we prophesy over one another. Really speak the words of God from person to person. Let's pray. Thank you, Father God, that you are so part of us, that your Spirit is so inside of us, that we have the gift of prophecy. Yes, I know there are other spiritual gifts as well, Father God. But I just believe you want to come and do something in our church, Father God, especially with this service, the morning service gathering, Father God, and encouraging us to speak your words to one another. That we pray over one another, share scriptures, share visions. Let us really be tapped into your Holy Spirit, that we may respond to you. Let us really be vessels, Father God, of ministering your word to the world. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ.